Parker, Nvidia riding the AI boom. But could the bubble burst? We hear from our correspondent on Wall Street. Also today at 1 o'clock GMT with me, Nick Miles, as a Russian spy ship lurks just outside British waters, we look at fears that Moscow is starting a hybrid conflict across Europe. As Washington pulls back from foreign aid, step in people like this.
There might have been $6 million sitting there.
$6 million?
$6 million, yeah. And I had no idea. So I said, it's now or never. I might as well start spending this money. Just spend it.
Later in the program, why after at least 12 children are killed in bombings of rebel positions in Colombia, the government says it won't stop. And synthesizers for sale. 50 years after Kraftwerk created a whole new sound, the kit that made it goes up for auction after this.
Hello, I'm Chris Barrow with the BBC News. The microchip giant Nvidia has seen its shares rise strongly after posting record high quarterly revenues of $57 billion. That's up 62% from the same quarter a year ago. Here's our North America technology correspondent, Lily Jamali.
The company beating analysts' expectations on a number of fronts. And oftentimes you see the stock pop when a company is able to beat those expectations, which is exactly what we saw. And I think bigger picture, what investors really wanted from NVIDIA and from boss Jensen Huang was assurances that all this talk of an AI bubble is really not as robust or is not as credible as the message that people like Mr. Huang and Sam Altman over at OpenAI want to send, which is that we are in an AI boom, and that this is technology that's going to be transformative for humanity as we know it.
President Donald Trump has said he'd work to help end the war in Sudan, following a request from the visiting Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. Mr. Trump was speaking at a U.S.-Saudi investment forum in Washington.
His Majesty would like me to do something very powerful having to do with Sudan. It was not on my charts to be involved in that. I thought it was just something that was crazy and out of control. But I just see how important that is to you and to a lot of your friends in the room. Sudan, and we're going to start working in Sudan.
Sudan's military government said on Wednesday that it was willing to cooperate with the U.S. and Saudi Arabia to seek peace in the country. The technology firm Meta says it's shutting down younger Australian teenagers' accounts ahead of the country's social media ban for under-16s. It says it's begun notifying users it believes to be aged between 13 and 15. Katie Watson reports from Sydney.
Teenagers across Australia woke up to the news they'll be kicked off popular social media platforms sooner than they'd expected. From Thursday, Meta says it will begin notifying children under 16 that access to Instagram, Facebook and Threads will be blocked from December the 4th and that they won't be able to create new accounts either. The ban, which comes into force 6 days later, will also affect platforms including TikTok, YouTube, X and Reddit. Meta said in a statement that while it agreed with the government that online spaces needed to be safe and age-appropriate, it didn't believe a ban cutting teens off from their friends was the answer.
Italy's top appeals court has ruled that a former Ukrainian military officer should be extradited to Berlin to face charges of blowing up Russia's Nord Stream gas pipelines to Germany. Serhiy Kuznetsov was arrested in Italy in August. His lawyers say at the time of the explosions in 2022, his client was a serving soldier. He says he's disappointed by the ruling. World news from the BBC. Australia has confirmed it's dropping its bid to host next year's International Climate Conference, opening the way for Turkey to hold the COP31 event. The two-week gathering will take place in the Mediterranean resort of Antalya in November. In an unusual compromise arrangement, Australia will still lead climate negotiations among governments. Turkey and Australia have been in a protracted struggle over next year's conference venue. Lithuania has reopened two border crossings into Belarus weeks after they were shut due to cigarette-smuggling balloons floating into the country's airspace. Lithuania said the balloons were a national security threat. It blamed Belarus for failing to stop criminals from using them. The balloons forced the temporary closure of Lithuania's main airports, affecting thousands of passengers. The border closure heightened tensions between Lithuania and Belarus, a close ally of Russia. The United States has raised the reward for helping capture one of its most wanted alleged drug traffickers. It's now offering $15 million for information about Ryan Wedding, a Canadian one-time Olympic snowboarder described as a modern-day Pablo Escobar. Paul Moss reports.
It's quite a charge sheet. Canadian Ryan Wedding stands accused of running a billion-dollar drug trafficking network, as well as money laundering and arranging the murder of a key witness who was shot dead in Colombia. Wedding is thought to be hiding out in Mexico, protected there by a local narcotics gang. But the US and Canadian authorities say they have now arrested 10 other people connected with his operation. They include his lawyer, Deepak Paradkar, who allegedly advised Wedding to have the witness killed.
Doctors in Britain's National Health Service have been cleared to use artificial intelligence to help find growths that could become bowel cancer. Britain's advisory body on health standards has said five technologies should be made available while more evidence is gathered. BBC News.
Hello, you are listening to the newsroom on the BBC World Service with Nick Miles. It is definitely something we're talking about a lot.
Artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence.
AI.
The AI ecosystem.
AI.
The AI boom.
But as with any new big thing, the question for investors is whether AI is now a proven money spinner or whether it's a bubble that will burst. So there were lots of eyes on Nvidia as it posted its latest revenue and profit figures a few hours ago. One of the biggest companies in the world, it makes the chips that power some of the most complex AI systems out there. Our North America business correspondent Michelle Fleury told me whether the numbers were good or bad.
Nvidia reported much stronger earnings, much stronger growth, I think, than people were necessarily sure would materialize. And the reason I say that is that the company said revenue was $57 billion. That was up 62% from a year ago. But not only did it see strong demand from big companies like Amazon, Microsoft and the likes, it also said that it continues to see that demand going forward. So the next 3 months, it's expecting 75% increase in revenue compared to a year ago. So that is really what initially is cheering people here on Wall Street. The question going forward is where that money continues to come from. And I think that is where certainly Wall Street analysts will be quizzing the boss, Jensen Huang, when he speaks to investors.
Indeed. Michelle, what does this tell us about the overall state of the health of the AI sector?
Nvidia is seen as a bellwether, and there are good reasons for that. I mean, it is so important, it's hard to underestimate. You know, it now accounts for 7% of a major US stock index. So what Nvidia does, the rest of the market follows. It's seen as a bellwether for the artificial intelligence stocks, in part because it is the backbone of the infrastructure. So as companies kind of want to build out and develop more and more and use AI more and more in their products, they turn to companies like Nvidia. So it tells you where we're going. But the question mark comes in, and the reason people are talking about is there a bubble or not, is that you're starting to see a lot more borrowing to try and fund those investments. And so while Nvidia is seeing strong demand for its products and strong growth, investors are beginning to question, you know, how all of these purchases are being funded. That means that you're seeing Nvidia's share price still performing very well, but other companies, it could be a Meta, it could be an Oracle, are beginning to sort of face tougher questions from Wall Street.
And just this week, we heard, Michelle, the head of Google admitting that there was a degree of irrationality behind the AI boom.
But what's fascinating is that in that same interview, the boss also talked about the importance of AI as he saw it to humanity as a whole. And it makes me think back to the dot-com bubble, where the power or the transformative nature of the internet is undeniable, but not all of the companies who were there at the beginning survived or did well. And I think that's what people are looking at now with AI, is there isn't a doubt so much that AI is here to stay, but it's which companies will turn out to have been the winners with proven profits down the road.
That was Michelle Fleury in New York. Now, there are fears that Russia is escalating its war in Ukraine into a hybrid war across Europe. The British Defence Secretary, John Healey, warned of a new era of threat as he gave details of a Russian ship just outside UK territorial waters shining lasers at British military pilots monitoring its course. He said Britain is ready to respond if the ship sails closer to shore. The Yantar is designed to gather intelligence and is suspected of mapping crucial undersea cables. The Russian embassy in London denied any wrongdoing and accused the UK of being on a Russophobic path with increasing militaristic hysteria. Our security correspondent Frank Gardner reports.
The Yantar, Russia's deep-sea research vessel, or to some, a spy ship. It's long been suspected of secretly mapping out Britain's undersea cables. But now, a new escalation. It's been revealed that RAF maritime patrol aircraft have been targeted by those on board the Yantar with a laser beam aimed at the pilots, enough to prompt the Defence Secretary to issue this warning to Russia.
This is the second time this year that this ship, the Yantar, has deployed to UK waters. So my message to Russia and to Putin is this. We see you, we know what you're doing, and if the Yantar travels south this week, we are ready.
As an island nation, Britain is heavily reliant on a network of undersea cables carrying data, as well as oil and gas pipelines. They're largely undefended and apparently of great interest to Russia's research vessels. Based in the Arctic port of Murmansk, the Yantar can deploy miniature remotely piloted submarines capable of diving to thousands of meters. Every time that the Yantar, this Russian surveillance ship, pops up close to Britain's shores, it's a real worry for Britain's defence chiefs. But it's not the only worry. It comes as part of a pattern of wider Russian activity, testing NATO's resolve, its reactions, and its defences. In September, more than 20 Russian drones crossed into Poland. Some were shot down, but four Polish airports were forced to temporarily close. There have also been incursions by Russian jets into NATO airspace over the Baltic. President Putin, seen today at an AI conference, gave no immediate reaction. Russia's embassy in London says it's not undermining UK security. But all this is happening while war rages in Ukraine. A war Putin blames on the West, and which seemingly he has no intention of stopping soon.
That was Frank Gardner. Well, with more on how this latest incident is being viewed in Moscow, here's our Russia editor, Steve Rosenberg.
Clearly, from what UK officials have been saying, Britain views Russia as a threat. But what's interesting is, here in Moscow, if you switch on Russian state television, the picture you get is the polar opposite. Here, Britain is portrayed as the aggressor and public enemy number one. Just a few days ago, a pro-Kremlin news outlet compiled a league table of so-called unfriendly governments, a sort of Premier League of Russia's biggest enemies. And who came top? Britain came top. And last week, the Russian military newspaper published an extraordinary article which claimed that since the end of the 18th century, Britain has been trying to deal Russia a crushing defeat. The aim of all of this, I think, is to feed an alternative reality and convince Russians, the Russian people, that their country is the innocent victim of Western aggression.
Steve Rosenberg. The closure of the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, earlier this year left thousands of health and nutrition programs around the world on the brink of collapse.